Good morning. Good to be with you all this morning. I got a bit of a frog. I'm going to start this already. I've been sitting there trying to clear my throat through that whole last song. It just wasn't working. And I'm still... Sorry. I don't know what's going on there. Still there. Anyway... It's great to be with you all, and even with the voice kind of how it's going. it's been another 5 years. Can you believe it? Time flies. We cannot believe, how a four-year time in New Guinea can go like that, and now it's been 5 years since we've seen you. And it's been a great 4 years again. And it's actually been, for me, already 20 years, and for Joyce and I, about 14 years. Thank God the Lord brought Joyce into my life on my first furlough. That was a great answer to prayer. I've been praying my whole life, adult life. and it was just God putting that all together and bringing us together in Durham, Ontario. And that's where we're hanging our hat right now. We have a home there in Durham, and... when it says 30% chance of snow, it means 100% chance in Durham. It said 30, but it's 100. And I have to laugh because 5 years ago, I prayed for a grand old Canadian winter when we were coming home because I wanted a good winter. God gave it to us. And were we shoveling, and we only have one way to move our snow, and it's only this one way, and it's piled this high, and there we are every day. It seemed like three times a day shoveling the snow over that way. So we weren't praying for a grand old Canadian winter this time. But then my brother-in-law, who lives in Georgetown, he has a snowblower. And I'm like, what do you got a snowblower for in Georgetown? It only snows once a year, big enough for that thing. And he goes, you can have it, or you can borrow it. So now we're praying for grand old Canadian winter again. Bring it on. We heard last year it was kind of mild, I think. So, anyway, I can't wait for lots of snow. Going like that instead of the shoveling. folks, thank you for praying for us over the past years, quite a few years now, and we really appreciate it. I remember standing here, 20 years ago, just before going, and a lot has happened, and it's exciting what's happened. We've actually been there long enough to see a work start from the very beginning and end, where not end in the sense of it's not going anymore, but our missionaries have left and there's a functioning church. And it's exciting to have been a part of many flights in doing that, and it's worth it all. It's fighting the weather and all different kinds of things, it's worth it all. And God's given us safety over over all these years, and I can only thank Him for keeping that engine running right, for guiding and all the landings over the years. And it is landing on mountain strips. Some of them sit like that on the side of the mountain. And it's exciting. It's a thrill. I do enjoy it. I get to do what I enjoy to do. And as a family, we're over there enjoying being a blessing to our missionaries. God's blessed us with two wonderful kids. JC, who's in grade 7. She's just turned 12. And Jared in grade 4 just turned 10. And they keep us hopping and keep us young and all that good fun stuff. But we're blessed. And they love New Guinea and life over there. And we live right on the ocean. So it's quite an amazing thing to take in living there. In the back on our display table, we have a new prayer card. Please grab one. It's ready to go. Throw it on the fridge. It's magnetic and ready to go. And please take that. There's some information you're welcome to. Also, if you would like our newsletter, just put your name and email. There's a paper there, and then you'll get our newsletter. So just so you know, that's there. And we're heading back to New Guinea next June or July. Tonight we'll give a presentation on the ministry God has us about, and please come back if you're able, and we'll share a bit more then of that ministry. It's exciting that, it's about 12 or 1 o'clock in Papua New Guinea right now, midnight of Sunday. So they're going into Monday already. And there have believers already have met in the little jungles, little corners of Papua New Guinea already. And they are worshiping the Lord. They love the Lord and are so thankful that they don't have to live in fear and bondage anymore of Satan, who has just thrown them down a crazy road for many years. And they are praising the Lord for all that he's done. They don't have to live like that. And that's happened already in many little small pockets of Papua New Guinea. I just want, in starting, just hold this thought throughout the message. Hold this thought. In John 13:15, Christ said here, "I have left you an example that you should do as I have done." It was one of his last statements that he gave to his disciples. He said, "I have left you an example that you should do as I have done." Often we say to our kids, "Do as I say, not as I do," because we fail as parents, as dads and moms. But Christ said, "No, do as I have done." He left an amazing, perfect example. Let's just pray for a minute. We'll go on. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for a gospel message that is for all people of this world, that the gospel does cross through all cultures, geographically, language, all these things, Lord. And it's a message for all mankind, wherever they are in this world. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. And thank you, Lord, for leaving us such an example of yourself through the Lord Jesus. And Lord, may we see that more this morning of the example you left us. And I just pray, Lord, that all that's said and done be for your honor and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, a very familiar story. And Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Luke 19, 1 through 10, says there, verse 1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.' Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So we see here the story of Zacchaeus, well known. I can relate to him. I'm a short guy. I need to climb up higher too, also to see different things. And I always had friends that were really tall. My best friend was 6'5". I don't know why, but anyway, kind of funny. But he could look ahead for me anyway. But here we see Zacchaeus climbing a tree, and from climbing that tree, his life was changed forever. He was a notorious sinner in the eyes of the people there. He was an extortionist. He used the Roman tax system to make himself very rich. And strong word, but the people hated him. He was a hated man. He was classed with thieves, with murderers, with prostitutes, a hated man. And I can't even imagine what life would be like that, to be hated and to go on through life and just take from the people like he did and carry on. And yet that day, he climbed a tree, and we all know the Lord Jesus knew that he was in that tree, and he didn't have to look for him. He looked directly to find him up there. He knew he was there. And Zacchaeus had an encounter with the Lord Jesus that day, and he was loved by him. He was shown compassion. He was not condemned by the Lord. And we see here that Zacchaeus became a changed man, and we know that by him saying he wanted to make things right with everyone around him. He wanted to pay back the poor that he had squandered money from. He wanted to make things right. And Jesus said that today salvation has come to this house. And you know, wouldn't it be neat to one day, when we get to heaven, look up Zacchaeus and ask him, Zacchaeus, what was life like before you came to the Lord? What was life like? What was it like to be hated all the time? How did you go through life under all that? And then what was life like after when the Lord changed you? That'd be a neat thing to one day do and find him. He's a short guy. We'll find him out there. I'm just going to go through a few more. Just listen through. Mary Magdalene. These are all encounters that people had with the Lord Jesus. We have Mary Magdalene. She was one that Jesus cast out 7 demons from Mary Magdalene. She must have been tormented, living in despair, a dark and evil life with these demons inside of her. And that day, the Lord cast those demons out. And Mary Magdalene was one that loved the Lord Jesus. She was present at Christ's crucifixion, at his resurrection. In fact, she was there and found the tomb empty, and then soon after talked with the Lord Jesus himself after he rose from the grave there. And, you know, her life before must have been despairing, immobilizing, unbelievable. You know, one day we can get to heaven and ask her, what was life like before your encounter with the Lord Jesus? What was life like? It'd be interesting to talk with her and just ask her that. And then how was it changed? We have Bartimaeus, Mark 10, verses 46 to 56 there. It says that Jesus was coming through Jericho, and Bartimaeus yelled out, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And Jesus turned and did have mercy on him. And not only was he given physical sight that day, but spiritual sight. His life was changed. Another man it would be neat to connect with in heaven and ask him, what was life like before? We have the woman at the well of Samaria. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He knew that he had to meet with this woman. We don't know her name. It's just a woman at the well. And it was through her encounter with the Lord Jesus that that Jesus said to her, the man you are with is not your husband, and in fact, you've had 5 husbands. And she knew that this man was a prophet. How would anyone know this? And through that encounter, she knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and she knew that her life was on the wrong path. She came for physical water that day and left with living water. She was changed through the Lord Jesus, and actually many others of the village were changed. And, you know, I think of, you know, wouldn't it be interesting to find the woman at the well? Hey, when we get to heaven, where is the woman who was at the well that day? Wouldn't it be interesting? And ask her, what was your life like before your encounter with Christ? Christ gave, again, his compassion and love to her. No condemnation, and she was a changed lady as well as many others. I'm sure that she lived a life of heartache, of confrontations, just of a lot of hard stuff to have gone through all that she'd gone through and was changed that day. It talks about a certain man with leprosy in Mark 1, verse 40. I like that one because there's no name even given, but God knows this man. And Jesus sought him out and healed him of leprosy. Remember, those who had leprosy were shunned. They were outcasts. They were unloved. And yet, not only did God heal him and make him clean, but he was a changed man. And it would be neat to meet this man. Where's that man who had leprosy? I want to meet him. What was your life like before and how you lived and how it was changed through the Lord Jesus? And the bottom line is we see here Jesus was one who came for those, not those who think they are righteous, but those that know they are sinners. He came to seek the ones that were lost. And, you know, he was no respecter of persons. The Lord was no respecter of persons, even his disciples were wondering, why are you talking to that person? What are you doing? The Lord Jesus was already was discipling those around him of how they ought to be to others around them. And so the Lord Jesus was no respecter of persons. It didn't matter to him what the prejudices of society was. He simply met people in need. And it was through his acceptance and love, no condemnation. And he changed these folks forever spiritually. And you know, now basically what we see, we look back now over 2,000 years of God being delighted in his son, the Lord Jesus, that he wanted millions like him all over the world. He wants to use us to be the one that people have encounters with Christ with. He wants to use us. And, you know, someday we will be able to ask these different ones, how was it like before your encounter with the Lord Jesus, before you were saved? And yet now today, each of us have a testimony to give. I want us now to look at a story of Awayo, his name is. And he lives in the jungles of Papua, and we can look at what life was like before. And it is a different world than what life was like with us in Canada, in the U.S., in the Western society. It's a different world, and we'll just look at that right now.
On this land, we Moi people are very strong people, but we die quickly. The spirits eat us. They control everything. What we eat, what we hunt, where we build our houses. The spirits watch us. We hear them in the wind. They control the night. They send centipedes like arrows to bite and kill us. They demand that we kill. My cousin committed adultery. The spirits were angry. So his wife's family killed him. Still, my family had to be compensated for his death. Her family tried to pay with shell money. It was not enough. Satisfied the debt. A death for a death. This is the way we Moy people live. We make our gardens. We hunt. We build our houses. The spirits watch us. One day, a new voice in the wind terrified me. I ran to see what it was, and I hid. I thought, who are these strangers? Men like me? Or spirits here to eat us? My people invited the strangers to live among us. Years passed, and they learned to speak our language. They learned about our ways. Still, I wondered, are they men or spirits? The strangers shared the Creator's talk. A few Moy people listened. I did not. I overheard them say, the Creator is more powerful than all the spirits? I thought, this is lying talk. When some of the Moy people heard the Creator's talk, their hearts became different. At our feasts, they weren't afraid to break the spirits' rules. They hunted whatever they wanted. They weren't even afraid of eating taboo food. I told them, you will soon die for this. Death is small, they told me. The Creator's talk is big. I thought, is this really lying talk? I didn't know. I wondered what the spirits would do. When the centipede bit me, I knew the spirits were angry. My family slashed me to get rid of the bad blood. But the sickness grew bigger and bigger. So they killed a pig, but still the spirits were not satisfied. I was dying. Then they came. The Moy who believed the Creator's talk came through the night with medicine. They came through the night to save me. Why weren't they afraid of the darkness? Why didn't they fear the spirits? Each day, for many months, I listened to the Creator's story. I saw my own sin. I was awestruck. The Creator's talk is powerful. Slowly, the truth began to dawn. Jesus died for us, for me, a death for my debt. But I know there are many people like the Moy. People who do not know the Creator. People who have never heard that Jesus died for them. Who will tell them?
Quite a powerful message there, isn't it? That is life in Papua New Guinea. And this fella, Awayo, he couldn't believe that people would come in the middle of the night to help with some medicine for him. And he was shocked that they would do that, that no one would ever walk in the middle of the night because of all the spirits out there, and just in fear of all of that. As you saw there, as we see this, what was life like before? His story. He's alive today. He loves the Lord. And that is his story before salvation. Quite a story. What he and still many others live under and like every day. It's incredible. I'm just going to share a couple other testimonies of different ones from over there. Momoam, he lives in the jungles of Papua New Guinea there, kind of like Awayo. he was asked by our missionaries before our missionaries started teaching God's talk, bringing God's word. He said, is there anything more powerful than the water spirits or the tree spirits? Where will you go when you die? Momoam said, you better tell me, as he started to cry, for 50 years I've been in darkness. In fear of the spirit in the fire cave over the mountain, I don't know anything else. You white men, you don't kill chickens to appease the dead ancestors when you get sick. Why? We see something different with you. But we have sat around the fire at night, and we don't know why. We hear little bits and pieces, but sorry, it doesn't fall into our heads. It falls on the rocks and goes back to the river. I will come to that teaching soon, and if you don't tell me the answer, well, you better tell me, because I don't know and I want to hear it. This was before hearing the message. Another fellow who was with Momoam that day, his name is Lucas, he said, we have 20 different ideas of what happens when you die. No one has ever told us, not even my grandfather or great-grandfather. All we know is how to appease the dead spirits so that we will not have any sickness or harm done to us, hopefully. I'm a leader, and I don't know this answer, he said with tears in his eyes. Both these men know the Lord today. They are believers in the Lord Jesus. They do know the road to heaven through the Lord Jesus, like Awayo. Pafi, another fella, said, I am so upset. All these years, I have never been told these things. I always knew there was something wrong. I have always felt like I wasn't hearing the whole truth. I could just feel it. Now when I go home at night, they were in the middle of teaching when he was giving this testimony. He says, now when I go home at night, I feel a burning inside from the teaching. It's burning my stomach because I know it is true. And what our leaders have been telling us are lies, lies. That's all I've ever been told. And now for the first time, my stomach is burning because God's truth is torching it. That was his way of describing what God's word was doing in his heart and life through our missionaries there. Kali, his thoughts of what they believed before. In other words, he's talking here about his ancestral beliefs. He said, I realized that I had been eating talk that was mixed with maggots. Speaking of ancestral beliefs, it was making me sick. I was not ready for the time of death. I was on a path that men had created that was full of lies. Now, I don't swallow, believe quickly, talk from anyone. I hear their talk, I scale it, I evaluate it, and if it is true, I down it. I believe it. If not, I throw it away. I only believe what is true, and I have learned that God's talk is true. That was his way of describing his ancestral beliefs and seeing God's word as truth. Daly said this when the teaching was being presented: I will continue to listen to this talk and take every piece of God's talk that you write. I will take it home and study it, and the light will stay on in my head. I know after this teaching is done, the stone in my head will be broken. I can feel it. I'm a stonehead now, but you guys are starting to break it, and I will know that I will know what God's talk says and not be afraid anymore. I will then teach my children. Yep, that's how it's going to happen. Don't you worry, younger brother. He's saying this to the missionary. Don't you worry, younger brother. I will be here this weekend, and I will get God's talk shoved into my head. These are exciting testimonies. All these folks know the Lord, and it's from their viewpoint. You saw this picture here, you know, of Ohio. It's a background of that they're coming out from. And this is the only way of expressing what God has done. You know, what goes through my mind is these folks, like Ohio, have had encounters with the Lord Jesus because of missionaries who have gone. And I'll tell you, there's many times that I've been walking behind our missionaries. Often they're barefoot because of all the mud there. And I'm walking behind them up to their house to have a coffee with them or just to sit down and visit. And I see their feet going ahead of me, and it overwhelms me. I'm like, wow, these feet are the light to these people here. And it's a crazy world here. It's a hard job. It's not easy learning this language and culture and so to clearly present God's word. It's something else. And the verse in Isaiah 52:7 comes to mind. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. These folks have gone in there, and they are showing love, showing compassion, showing no condemnation to the tribal people there, as Christ has done. They're going out there doing that day in, day out, sewing up their wounds, just loving them, going through their pains. This is before they hear the gospel message. And my hat goes off to them. God's given us another role in the teamwork of seeing these folks come to know the Lord in flying our missionaries in and out, bringing their supplies in so they can be out there and doing that, all the way from your prayers here to make this happen. It's how God does this, using each one of us to make it happen. And God's we've been privileged with our little spot in that cog of flying these folks in and out and loving on them as we see them and just talking and being a friend and encourager to them as much as we can. And when they come out to WEWAC where we live, we have them in our homes. And they're our coworkers. They're our family over there. We see them all through the week at different times when I land out there. And It says in 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15, that now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. The Lord wants to use us to be his scent. In the Phillips translation, it says the unmistakable scent of Christ, that people know they're with the Lord Jesus. That's the example Christ left, as we saw. Do as I have done, the Lord Jesus said. That is his example. And wherever we are, whether it's here in Listowel, wherever God brings us, uses us, that scent of Christ should be there. You know, in the BM tribe, a couple of years ago, the gospel was presented there, and it's really interesting how the majority of those that came to the Lord there on this little island were the rascals of the island. In Papua New Guinea, we use the term rascal a lot. That's those that just are into trouble. We call those the thieves and all different ones like that. In WEWAC, the rascals. And it's interesting how those who know they're into trouble are the ones often that come to the Lord. They're the ones who are ready to understand what Christ has done for them. And you know, on this little island, it's 80 miles northeast of WEWAC. It's the only location that I don't go to because there's no airstrip on that island, and they get serviced by boat, 80 miles over the ocean. And the only thing we've done there is a couple of airdrops because they needed something badly. We've done that over there. And these guys that got saved, it was a group of about 20 young men between 18 and 25 that came to the Lord. And you know what? They were it's a miracle for any of us to get saved. But their lives were so transformed that the island people were witnessing it. These guys aren't rascals anymore. And I just want to read, this was a few months ago, I got this from our missionary there, Brandon Buser. He said, after a Sunday service, he said, I sat down with a group of the guys, and they were just talking about things of the Lord. And one of the guys said, he goes, look at this church. He said, many of us here were seen by the community as the scums of this island. We were the thieves, the wife beaters, the liars, the adulterers, the self-righteous ones. We used to call everyone bad names. And then he says, but now, he goes, yeah, look. He says, many people might oppose our faith now, but they can smell us now. He didn't know about this passage here in God's Word. He just said it. He says, you know what? He says, the people on the island here, they smell us now. And this is, it's so neat what he says here. He said, they smell us now. He says, the changes in our lives, they smell it, and they know it is not from God. And they know it is not from us, it's from God. And it was smiles all around for the guys. We all knew, this is our missionary writing, we all knew God did this. God changed us. They are living in truth. Isn't that a neat picture? The scums of that island were changed through their encounter with the Lord Jesus, through our missionaries there, and were gloriously saved, and their lives are changed, and the island people know it. They're like, these guys used to raise havoc with us. They're changed. And you know what? Through them, many are coming to the Lord because of what happened in their lives. it says... I'm just going to just share one more just neat thing that happened. In one of the tribes, Mariama, the gospel message, this takes several months of going through God's word to come to the pinnacle, the gospel message. Our missionaries start at the beginning of creation and work through God's word to lay a foundation of who God is. And so there's a clear understanding of who is the Lord Jesus, and that he is that perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Mariama people were just explained that message the day before, and many got saved. And right the next day, our missionary's last lesson of that segment was to tell the people that now that you have this message in your heart, you're to go out and share that with all your family and all your neighbors and the other hamlets that speak the same as you and all that. And as they were hearing that message, all of a sudden they realized, wow, that's what you guys have done. You've come here to tell, they're thinking that of our missionaries. That's what you've done. You've left everything to come here to tell us this message. And it just dawned on them. They started to stream by our missionary. There's two missionary families there. They came by to shake the hands of them and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming. One fella, Jenatin, he said, thank you so very much for coming to tell us this talk. If you guys would not have come, we would still be like pigs wandering around in the jungle looking for the next meal, looking for the road to God. Thank you so much for listening to God and leaving your family to come live with us. And then another fellow there, Jeffrey, and he puts it completely in to me in the right perspective. He said, yes, he's telling this to our missionary. He says, yes, we are so happy that you guys came to share this talk with us. But now we know our great creator being, and we are thanking him today for sending you to us. Isn't that neat? He's got it in the right perspective. He is thanking the great creator being, the only true God. He's thanking him for sending the missionaries to them there. And God is using, I tell you, it's a thrill to be to witness that. There's been so many neat things along the way in just the ministry that God has had for us there. I was, again, a few months ago, one of our tribes, an elderly missionary lady, just finished translating the New Testament. She's 68 years old. She headed back to the U.S. And is retired now. Her health was failing a bit, too, and she finished that part of the work. Two missionary couples have left already about a year ago. There is a church established there. There are elders. They're going on for the Lord. And I was getting ready to fly Linda Craig, is her name, out of the tribe that day. And I knew I wouldn't be landing in Siawi too many more times, because when missionaries are there, that brings me in more. Now it's only going to be for dropping in medicine once every maybe 2 months. And so I went and talked with a young fella, Noke. And I know Noke when he was only about 10 years old, and now he's 30. And he's an elder of the church. And he was in the back room of Linda's house, and I quickly snuck in there because I just wanted to say goodbye to him. And I said, Noke, I said, I don't know why, you know, how often I'm going to see you anymore, but I said, thanks for all your help. He was a guy that always helped me at the airplane. He's a good buddy and friend. And I said, you know, sorry that I'm not going to see you that often anymore. And he goes, oh, you don't have to be sorry. He says, you don't have to be sorry. He says, we have the Lord Jesus in our hearts and lives. We are saved. We know the Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit guiding us, and we are in God's hands. And he just said it like that. And man, I had tears in my eyes, and I just said, wow. Noke, you're right. It's kind of like you become the learner, you know. Here you're trying to say something, you know, really great here. And he just turns it back and says, you don't worry about us. We have everything we need. And we don't need all this stuff. We have the Lord Jesus. I tell you what, you know, I gave him a big hug. And I said, you're right, Noke. And I said, it is a great thing we have. It is the only thing to have the Lord Jesus in our hearts and lives. And there's other things like that that have happened along the way. Let's just close in prayer. Dear God, Lord, we thank you so much for the example that you've left us, Lord, and that today now you want to use us to be that encounter for people of seeing the Lord Jesus. And Lord, for us to serve people so that our message will be heard. Lord, just help each one of us just to be that light to people, just to serve others. And Lord, that through serving them, that they'll know that there's something different. And Lord, that they'll want to hear the message of the messenger. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've empowered us this way, that you want to use people. And thank you that folks like Awayo and many others, Momoam, Dali, Kali, so many others there, Lord, Noke, know you today. And Lord, they're thanking you today. You are a great creator being, Lord, and you've done it all. And thank you for sending the Lord Jesus and dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we're so unworthy, and yet you want to use us. And we thank you for that. Go before us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.